Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey, and it is a pleasure to be with you behind the mic to air another hour of terrific material. We've got great guests lined up, and we will get to that in about a minute, maybe two, because I want to go over a couple quick things. First of all, it is a really busy week coming up. We have a wide variety of holidays or events to focus on. But first, I want to make sure we're all recovering from the time change last weekend. I was actually in New York City and flew home on Sunday and completely forgot. And I thank God I made my flight because I almost forgot Sunday morning. But I don't know. My kids are struggling with that time change because it's we're in South Florida and it is so dark in the morning. It's really hard to get them up and out of school and out of bed to school. So it's really been pretty challenging few days here, but hopefully it is a little smoother next week and that it's going okay for you. And I'm actually curious. I want to look up why we do this, why we change times. I think there's only one state in the union that doesn't. I want to say it's Indiana or Iowa or something. They just don't change the clock. I think it had something to do with farming years ago, you know, a long time ago. So I'm not sure. I'm going to dig into that and I'll report back. If I'm not going to be on the air for a while, I'll let Maria know why we do this. But anyway, so on to more important matters. I wanted to talk really quickly about the three important things that are coming up. I wanted to talk about, first of all, St. Patrick's Day. It's this Tuesday, March 17th, of course. So if it's the day that's the wearing of the green and you're going to go out and celebrate, please do so carefully. I am of Irish descent on both sides, so we really look forward to it in our household. And we take the kids for a nice traditional Irish dinner at a restaurant. So there's even pubs popping up all over, so that'll be fun to do. So I wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. Another March event I wanted to bring to your attention is the Leapfrog Reading Challenge. Go to leapfrog.com/challenge. I encourage all parents to do this. And you can use the hashtag Leapfrog Challenge if you can post about it and share it on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. It is basically a program by Leapfrog to encourage reading. It's the Reading Month Challenge. And Leapfrog was partnering with a nonprofit, the Christy Yamaguchi's Always Dream Foundation, to donate 20 books to the foundation's underserved classrooms for every pledge received. Their goal is to donate 350,000 books just this month. So we know reading is so important to our kids. So take a minute, go to leapfrog.com, take the challenge of National Reading Month Challenge, and you'll be doing a great thing for other kids. And obviously, read with your own kids about 30 minutes a day. And as National Nutrition Month is March as well, I wanted to bring your attention to a prenatal nutrition segment, our sponsor of Premama. And if you're taking a prenatal vitamin or trying to decide which one to take, try the prenatal vitamin you can drink. It's called Premama. And go to drinkpremama.com to see the three formulas that are available. The newest formula is complete, and it is available at target.com. And it's a doctor-recommended vitamin and powder form that you mix with a favorite beverage. Flavored water, juice, smoothies are also really popular. If you have a really nutritious smoothie you make, just throw in one packet of Premama every morning, and you've got your daily prenatal vitamin. So important for women of childbearing age. So it's got all the good stuff like DHA, folic acid, gentle iron, even B6 for nausea relief. So check out drinkpremama.com and check them out on Facebook and Twitter too. There's all kinds of fun information and even giveaways too once in a while. So with that said, we're just going to jump into the show. We've got a great show lined up. We're going to be talking to our resident nutrition expert, Sherry Torkos, and she is going to be talking about fiber and weight loss and all kinds of good stuff about food. And we're talking to our Spotlight on Moms will be a fun segment. We're talking about simple living and all kinds of great stuff today. So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, our first guest, Sherry Torkos.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary in for Maria, and it is my pleasure to introduce a frequent guest on Mom Talk Radio, Sherry Torkos. Sherry is an award-winning pharmacist, author, certified fitness instructor, and health enthusiast who enjoys sharing her passion with others. And her website is sherrytorkos.com. That's with two R's and Sherry and a Y, and T-O-R-K-O-S.com. And Sherry, welcome to the show. We have spring is actually this week too. We, as I said in the intro, it's a busy month in March, but spring is right on us. So what do we have to do to prepare and repair for spring?
Yeah. Hi, Mary. Thanks for having me on the program today. And yes, spring is just around the corner. And I think for a lot of folks, it was a long winter. It was a tough winter. People are maybe looking to shed some weight that they gained, take some steps to improve their skin health, their heart health. So starting off with some simple food swap. During the wintertime, some people hibernate. They tend to gain a little bit of weight and maybe eating more comfort foods. But now that spring is here, this is a great time to take advantage of the different local produce that's available, boosting intake of fruits and vegetables, making sure you're getting lots of fiber as well. Because if you have gained a few pounds over the winter, which a lot of us do, increasing your fiber intake is a great way to help boost your weight loss efforts.
So I live in South Florida, and I really have no excuse. So even regardless of weather or climate, I think the springtime is just a good time to start some of these new habits, right?
Yeah, I think so. And when it comes to changing up your diet, it doesn't have to be extreme change. For example, if you like to snack on potato chips instead of that, have whole grain tortilla chips, multi-grain
right.
tortilla chips. And you'll find a lot of different foods now fortified with flaxseed and chia seed and quinoa and hemp hearts. Same with the pastas, the breads. Whole grain is always a better choice. And add more fruits and vegetables to your plate, and you're going to get more nutrients, better blood sugar control, and it may help you in those weight loss efforts as well.
Right. So we want to jump into fitness too. In other words, let's combine fit diet, changes in diet and a fitness routine.
That's right. And of course, they go hand in hand, and more activity plus better food choices is going to make you feel better all around. With regular exercise, you're going to burn more calories, you're going to sleep better, have less stress throughout the day. It's great for your heart, great for your brain. But the other thing I wanted to mention as well, when we're still thinking about nutritional changes, when some people are trying to lose weight, they'll say, oh, well, I'm going to give up fats, and they want to cut down on the
right.
fat. And beware that low-fat, no-fat foods are often the same caloric value. For example, if you go fat-free sour cream, it has the same calories as regular sour cream. So don't fall into the fat trap. You want to get good fats, healthy fats in your diet. And I'm going to tell you a few to look for. When it comes to making your salad dressings and putting, an oil on a pasta, olive oil is always a good choice, good fatty acids, good antioxidants. But when it comes to cooking, the best option for cooking is to use Malaysian palm fruit oil. And the reason
wow.
I recommend that, and the reason I use this, it's a beautiful red oil. It's uh-huh. actually nature's richest source of vitamin E, and this vitamin E is good for brain health, for heart health. There's even been some evidence to show it can prevent damage that can occur if a stroke happens.
Okay.
So it has a lot of nutritional benefits as well, and it's heat stable. So if you're cooking with it, baking with it, frying with it, it retains the nutritional value. You don't lose the beneficial antioxidants and nutrients. So it's Malaysian palm fruit oil. And you can look for it in an international grocery store. It's mm-hmm. free of trans fatty acids, and it's top of the list when you look at benefits of an oil can provide beyond just being, versatile.
So I've been cooking with olive oil. I should switch. Is it? It's not bad to cook with olive oil, right, versus just regular vegetable oil? Or how are you, in other words, so I have to go get Malaysian palm fruit oil?
Well, what I would say is keep the olive oil to add to foods after they're cooked. We know that olive oil is not as heat stable, so when it is heated to a high temperature, you lose some of the nutritional benefits, as well as it may change the oil in certain ways.
Okay.
So that's that would be my recommendation. And Malaysian palm fruit oil is also sustainable, so it's good for the environment as well. So that's what you want to look for in terms of a healthy fat. And there's some other foods that I would suggest, including more in your diet this time of year, as we're going to have more sun exposure, especially if you're in northern areas. areas where it's been a cold, brutal winter, thinking spring, the sun is, you know, we're going to be out, we're going to be active more. Add some more tomato-based products to your diet. They contain an antioxidant called lycopene, and lycopene can help to fight UV damage. It's also good for your heart as well.
Okay. I have heard of that, actually.
Yeah, lycopene, it also has a lot of benefits for prostate health, but lycopene, and there's if you're not able to get the tomatoes in your diet on a daily consistent basis, what I would recommend is looking for a supplement, and there's a one-a-day supplement that is called NovaHue, and that's NovaHue, NovaHue Cardio. It's a one-a-day lycopene supplement. And it's actually made with a standardized tomato extract. It supports heart health. It's good for your circulation, your blood pressure. It can even help with cholesterol levels. But here is a big benefit as well for your skin. Okay. Lycopene, which is one of the key components in this, can help to protect your precious skin from the UV damage. And for those that are concerned about wrinkles, premature aging, wrinkling, of course, sunscreen is really important, wearing the wide-brim hats, but making sure you're either eating the tomato products regularly or taking a good lycopene supplement like the NovaHue is good for skin protection.
For the inside out as well, not just the outside, exterior sun protection, but interior as well. So that's great. And actually for us down here, that's our, obviously our sun exposure is always at a maximum, usually in Florida, unless it's raining, which again, it rains a lot, but we're really exposed. So
yeah, you're still exposed. And even if you wear sunscreen, a lot of folks don't put sunscreen on. They don't put enough of it on.
Right.
And they tend not to reapply it.
So where can our listeners find more information about all that you've talked about? Because this is just the tip of the iceberg of what the great information you can offer.
Yeah, so I was talking about the Malaysian palm fruit oil that you can find in international grocery stores. Okay. In terms of the NovaHue Cardio, you can take a look online for that. It's NovaHue.com, N-O-V-A-H-U-E.com, and it's sold through healthcare practitioners. So you can check it out online and ask your healthcare provider for it. And if you want more information on just general health, for sure check out my website, SherryTorkas.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Sherry, for joining us. And again, we'll talk to you again on Mom Talk Radio for more great information about health and nutrition. And when we come back, the spotlight on moms, we're going to focus on Sarah LaFontaine, the mother of five children. Stay with us. Shining the spotlight on moms on Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria, and I'm speaking with Sarah LaFontaine, who is the mother of five children from 18 years old down to seven. So she is a busy mom, but she cooks with her kids, and the name of her blog is cookwithfivekids.blogspot.com, and she's on Twitter at cookwithfivekids. So Sarah, let's talk about it. Are we all foodies we're foodies in our house. Are you foodies in your house?
We are all foodies, and actually my oldest son, who's 18, wants to be a chef.
That's funny. So does mine.
Yeah, which is amazing, and he's liked cooking since he was two. He loves to find recipes. He watches videos, and he creates the most incredible food. If there's a downside, it's that he doesn't clean up. So, there's a delicious dinner, but 2 hours of cleanup afterwards, which is fine.
Well, that's true, because kids tend to make more of the mess. They use every pot in the drawer, so that's great. Right. So you have a big range of children. I mean, 7-year-olds to 18. I have actually 8-year-old to 14, but only three kids too. So I won't get, you're the bomb with five kids. But you say you started cooking with your kids when they were little.
Right. So I have four boys, and actually the youngest, the 7-year-old, is a girl, which makes it even more complicated because she really has nothing in common with everybody else. But we find that we really bond in the kitchen, and all my kids love to find recipes. They will check the ingredients, see what we need to buy, and then they want to be right in there measuring and cooking and creating things. And I've really taught them to check labels, help me find things that are healthy, trying to make the healthiest food possible that will still taste good. And honestly, the foods that the kids choose and make themselves are the foods that they'll eat and continue eating. And if I'm choosing the dinner and just making it, they're not very likely to like it. But if they put their hands in it and present it to everybody, you're pretty sure they're going to eat it.
Absolutely. The more they, more invested they are in it, the better they're going to, they'll like it and they'll eat it.
Exactly.
But what is your best tip, I guess, for cooking with kids, other than obviously letting them enjoy? Do you say, you know, do you narrow down their choice? Do you have the final say? Do you just let them have free range over what they can cook?
You know, I let them cook anything. I let them choose anything. And very often they will choose the dessert for dinner before they've chosen the main course, which is
That's exactly
fine.
What I thought. Yeah.
I mean, I am open to anything. And I also think my best tip is let them make a mess. You know, if you're worried about every measuring spoon getting lost and flour on the ceiling and the floor, you're not going to have fun. The kitchen is, you know, free territory. Everyone should have fun and not be worried about it. And my 7-year-old can crack eggs like no tomorrow only because I've been letting her do it. And so she's going to have a few shells in her scrambled eggs. She's going to say, that tasted terrible. I'm going to be more careful next time. But she can make scrambled eggs herself, and she loves to take orders for her brothers and who wants scrambled eggs for breakfast. And it's awesome. I mean,
I love it.
These kids will be able to take care of themselves and cook no matter when for anyone.
That's awesome. That sounds just perfect. And I subscribe to that theory too, almost the Julia Child cooking method in the kitchen. Like, you can make a mess, don't worry.
Exactly.
Clean it up later, you know.
Exactly.
Well, that's a great tip. We have a couple more minutes in the segment. Tell me really quickly, what you have two of your five have a autoimmune illness. How does that factor into the cooking?
So my 16 and 13-year-old have an illness called POTS, and that stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome.
Okay.
And what that means is the blood does not flow correctly in their body, and just something as simple as getting up in the morning. So they're going from lying down to sitting up and then standing up, which you and me take for granted, and we just get up in the morning. When they do something simple like that, their heart rate can go up 100 beats a minute or even more just standing up in the morning. So it's been really, really hard, and this illness is very hard to diagnose because if you go to a regular doctor's appointment, they'll take your blood pressure sitting on the table. They will not ask you to lie down and take your blood pressure, and they definitely won't ask you to stand up and take your blood pressure. It's very hard to diagnose, and millions of people are suffering with this illness, and it takes years to figure out what it is because it's such a specific thing. You don't think about this. And they both are on a homebound education, which means the public school sends teachers to our house because they feel so terrible they can't get up and go to school like other kids, and their sleep schedule's messed up, their joints hurt, there's, you know, a whole list of things that bother them.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, I wish you the best of luck, and I'm inspired by you. As I tell my kids too, I mean, just stop complaining about the little stuff sometimes. Great advice. So nice talking to you, Sarah. And again, your blog is cookwithfivekids.blogspot.com, and your Twitter is cookwithfivekids. So good luck, Sarah. And when we come back on Mom Talk Radio, we'll be joined by Shannon Hayes, who's going to talk to us. She is the radical homemaker. There's a lot to cover here, a really fascinating topic, especially how she lives on less than $30,000 a year. We'll be right back.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Thanks for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary in for Maria. I'm pleased to introduce Shannon Hayes. Shannon grew up on Sapbush Hollow Farm, and in 1999, she got engaged, and she and her fiancé bought a sunny little cabin just up the road from the farm. So, and then she has, in addition to the farm, she has two children, and she has a PhD from Cornell. So she has written essays and articles and has appeared in regional and national publications, including the New York Times, Boston Review, U.S. News and World Report. I can't even list all of them. So very, very impressive list of publications. And she's also an author, but she's going to talk about how she lives very simply with her husband and two children on sometimes less than $30,000 a year. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Mary. Thanks for welcoming me. I appreciate it.
So you graduated from Cornell. You've got amazing resume of a list of essays and articles that have appeared in these regional and national publications, and you live simply.
We live very simply. I do have to say that, though, that doesn't lead the Cornell Alumni Fund to call me very often.
This is true because you live on how many? You live on $30,000 a year. You and how many people in the house?
I have my husband and my two children. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's amazing. How do you do that?
Well, I should start to say that living on that level isn't necessarily my goal.
Right.
My accountant tells me I really need to change that a little bit. I try to convince him that it's just a sign of how little you need, right?
Right.
After a while, he says, I gotta bring those numbers up. We'll try one of these years. But
spend more. Wow.
Well, my husband and I decided a long time ago when I finished my degree at Cornell, I was, I have quite an education with a PhD, but I started to realize that the high achieving women in my field, you know, they were highly trained academics, PhDs, they weren't getting the life they wanted. I made a list before I left graduate school of every woman professor I had ever known who actually managed to get married, stay married, and didn't have a divorce, to get tenure, and then to have children. And I made a list of every faculty member, and not one of them actually got a check in every category.
Oh,
and
really?
I said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, that was a big red light to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started looking at the cost of having a job. So I got out, and my husband and I had already bought this inexpensive little summer cabin that wasn't too far from the farm because it was cheaper than renting. And I started adding up the cost of having a job. Now, my parents, who had the family farm, were thoroughly expecting, after me getting all these great degrees, that I would run off and do something in that department.
Absolutely.
And he has a master's degree, and I started adding up the cost of having a job. And both of us being employed, and we looked at the cost of living in a place where the cost of living was higher, the cost of having to have professional wardrobes and two cars and having to buy rather than grow our own food. And I ended up calling my dad on the phone and saying, you know, I'm really sorry, but I can't afford to work. And,
right.
They thought we were crazy, but we joined the family farm. They were not able to, it was too small to provide a salary for us, so we worked our way in by creating little ancillary enterprises, and we called ourselves Gainfully Unemployed, and I guess it just sort of became the start of this radical homemaking movement of people who were living on a single income or less, because they started to say, look, we want to live closer to the earth, we want freedom, we want to be able to take care of our family. That was very important to me. My family and my marriage were my number one priorities. And so that's the way we do it. And we don't really pay much attention to what the income is. We pay attention to our quality of life. And sometimes the numbers look a little bit lower than most numbers.
And that's a good point. I think, you know, pigeonhole our lifestyles by this is my paycheck, this is what I can spend, this is my budget, which I guess, like you said, if you're just looking at your quality of life and it's good for you and your family, then you are happy. You are fulfilled.
Absolutely. I have a million-dollar quality of life. I do the same things I think that most middle Americans do. I mean, I mean, this is kind of a funny thing. My readers really tease me about this, but I actually went to Disney with my family this winter. We drove down to Disney, and as you can imagine, someone who's as ecologically keen as I am, that might not be the number one destination. But my kids really wanted to do this, and we put the challenge to them. We said, if you can raise the money to pay for the tickets, then we'll reward you, and we will drive down, and I'll rent a house, and I'll cook the meals, and we'll picnic our way through.
Right.
And they did it. And they did it by the same skills that my husband and I have. We've been teaching them entrepreneurial skills, so they made dog biscuits from the animal fats we raise on the farm and from the bone broth. They made greeting cards. They did different crafts from found objects in nature and sold them. These kids raised $1,500.
Wow.
And they were 11 and 7. And
wow.
They came up with this, and so they paid for their share, and they also paid for their father's and my tickets since we had to escort them in. And
yes.
And we, you know, we were still on our family income. You know, we just used our same homemaking skills to get down there. We cooked. We didn't go out to restaurants. We
right.
rented houses instead of hotels. And so I have the same fun that everybody else does. It's
sure.
not like I'm sitting here, you know, in a lonely cell.
Right. Oh, no,
living,
no.
Living like a nun.
Yeah, like I said, by your resume and your very, very popular articles, I can tell. So you you homeschool, you grow your own
yes.
food, correct?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay, and
I should say we do have specialize a little bit. I live high in the mountains, and so vegetables just do not do well here.
Oh, right,
tomato
right,
season,
right.
I can never get a tomato to ripen. But I have a lot of farm friends because we're at farmers markets and things like that. So what I do is we grow all of our own meat, obviously, and we grow some
right.
of the cold weather vegetables that we can actually get to harvest here. And then we trade or we buy from neighboring farms that are in slightly better microclimates. And I buy it in bulk. You know, I buy it by the bushel and I can everything up.
Sure.
And that's how we get through our season. Yeah.
Oh, great. And where are you located? Just curious.
I'm in the northern foothills of the Appalachian Mountain chain in the northern Catskills. So just below
okay.
the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York.
Oh, okay. Beautiful country. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. So we can find all of your articles and information about you and your at theradicalhomemaker.net, correct?
Yes, and yes, I blog every week starting in April all the way through Christmas, and you can sign up for a newsletter there to get the blog post, and there's a new book out called Homespun Mon Comes Unraveled, which is a collection of essays.
Great. And I apologize. We didn't even get to the book. I saw you've written 6 books, starting with The Grass-Fed Gourmet, and you just released Homespun Mom Comes Unraveled, which the title itself is fabulous. So where can we find the book?
You can find them through any of your major venues. And, of course, you can help raise that less than $30,000 income by buying them direct from me, if you like.
Okay. And that's at your website, correct?
Yes. And Mary, thank you so much for giving me the time today. I do appreciate it.
No problem. Fascinating. It's really great to talk to you, Shannon. Best of luck. And when we come back, we'll be talking to Bobby Rhodes, a Connecticut mom entrepreneur.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mom Talk Radio, and I'm pleased to introduce Bobby Rhodes. Bobby is a Connecticut mom entrepreneur who is the founder and CEO of Fun Bites. It's an adorable product. We actually have some in our office. It's encouraging healthy eating habits for kids through food cutters. And there's a series of them, and they are absolutely adorable, really bright colored, and a really great website too. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Bobby.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So you're fresh off of an appearance on Shark Tank. You have won a Huggies Mom Inspired grant. I mean, you are really, things are going fantastic for you. Tell us about what's happening right now.
It's been a lot of work. We've been working on Fun Bites for 3 years, and so it's been great to be finally, you know, be able to ride the wave and get recognition. And a lot people, it's been shouting into the football stadium to get awareness, and finally we're able to reach the moms with the picky eaters and help them get those picky eaters to try new things and eat healthier. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. And certainly that's a very common problem with moms and their picky eaters. And so that was the inspiration for Fun Bites for yourself?
The inspiration for Fun Bites was my own kids. I have two
right.
little girls. Well, they're not little anymore. One's 14 and the other is 10. But they were picky eaters growing up. The first, my older one, always liked her food super neat and organized. And the other one, the second one, being a second child, she never liked to try new things, especially vegetables and fruit, unless it was junk food. So I began to create different shapes and to get them to eat and try new things, and we would play with our food. I found that the cookie cutters that are out there, the flat cookie cutters with cheap plastic, they really wouldn't cut through things. It was like
right.
larger shapes, and that's where we came up with Fun Bites. Fun Bites is a two-piece set. It's made up of very durable plastic made in the USA, The cutter itself is a curved blade that you can rock back and forth, so it rocks through any kid-friendly food. Yeah, it's really it's not just a bread cutter or some sandwich decruster, but it rocks through any kid-friendly food, pancakes, cheese, quesadillas, brownies, anything like that. And it comes with a matching popper top, so you insert the popper top and you pop out the bite-sized pieces. Kids themselves love to use Fun Bites as well as the parents. Kids like the popper top particularly because it just adds a little bit of magic and fun to the whole experience.
Absolutely. And as I said, the website is so cute, but we have one here and it does have, it has like the handle things on the side so you can really, you know, so, and you rock it back and forth. So it makes it so much easier. And actually I have, I remember even for the holidays, we had these cookie cutters and I would try to send my daughter sandwiches in, you know, really cute shapes, but they were about not even a quarter of an inch in height. So I couldn't get through the sandwich. So these are nice and tall. Yeah. So what a great idea. So it was 3 years in development, you say?
Well, the company has been for 3 years. And prior to that, it was about 2 years in development. So we've been working on this whole thing for 5 years.
Okay. And as you said, it's made in the USA, which I love, and which I love even more and moms will love, is it's dishwasher safe, right?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
It's
love
EPA
it.
Free.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So where can our listeners find Fun Bites?
So Fun Bites is available on a variety of .coms, our own website, funbites.com, Amazon, Target, Walgreens. We're soon getting next in about a week. It'll be on Nordstrom, Walmart. It's already on Bed Bath & Beyond and Bye Bye Baby. Pretty much any .com, it's already out there. And we're working to get it into the brick and mortar now as we fine-tune our packaging.
Wow. So you've really got some great distribution online. So you say it is coming to some big box retailers soon?
Right, it is. And we're working on some licensing deals with big companies. So we're hoping to use that as a way to forge ahead into the big box retailers.
Right. Now, how much input did your kids have in the design? And I know that was the inspiration, but as you went through even your prototypes, did they have input in it? And where did you get your feedback?
Well, of course they had, kids have input into everything in your life.
Right,
But we also did, a survey with 900 moms on Zoomering on the internet and asked moms what shapes they were interested in, what colors, what the name of the company, everything. And that's actually how we found out there were 10 million picky eater kids in the U.S. alone. By asking and, asking moms if they had a picky eater and using the census data and streamlining out into the number of picky eaters that are in the U.S.
Right.
We did a lot of research behind this product, too.
Yeah, great. And actually, as we've been saying, and we say all along, anybody who cooks with their kids knows the more kids have, even if they get to cut their own sandwich up, they have some input in it, they're going to eat it. So it's probably, they're more invested in what they're going to eat, and they'll eat it if they have participation in it. So that's a great idea.
It's interesting you said that because also Cornell University about a year and a half ago released a study saying that if you allow your kids to play with their food and make it into bite-sized fun shapes, they will try new things and eat healthier. And that's really the premise of getting the picky eaters to eat is, I know when I grew up, you weren't supposed to play with the food. You're supposed to eat, to sit down and eat. And now, everything's changed. And, kids, psychologists and doctors and universities are saying, hey, no, actually getting the kids involved with their food from the making of it to creating it and playing with it, that's what gets them to eat better.
Right. Absolutely. Well, again, great idea. A mom-inspired product, a Huggies mom-inspired product in it as well. And the best of luck. And again, it's funbites.com. And congratulations, Bobby, on your success and best of luck in the future. And when we return, we will be joined by Heather Stouffer, who will be talking about Mom Made Foods, her company. This is Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and our last guest, we saved the best for last. We're going to go back to our food topic and talk to Heather Stouffer, who started Mom Made Foods in 2006, and knows all about how to create a happy and positive mealtime for our kids. So welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Heather.
Thank you so much, Mary.
So tell us about Mom Made Foods. Did you start, it's your company. What was your inspiration for starting it?
It is. I am the crazy mom who started it. I launched it in May 2006, Mary. I'm a mom of two kiddos, and as a working mom, found myself in many situations, I still do, where I need a convenient, easy, healthy meal for my family. And back in 2006, there really just was nothing I felt good about feeding my kids that I could purchase and was easy to make in a few minutes. So Mom Made is all frozen products. Freezing is our preservative, and we make our meals and snacks using organic ingredients and antibiotic-free meats, and we've taken kid-favorite meals and make them as healthy as we possibly can, and they're sold in grocery freezer aisles now nationally.
Oh, congratulations. That's great. And you actually, your beginning part was just like my house. I just feel like I'm always looking for something healthy for the kids that they're going to like and they're going to eat.
I know. It's still, it's a daily struggle that all of us parents face. And all of us are so busy these days. And regardless of whether or not we're working parents, even the stay-at-home parents, you find yourself just pulled in so many directions that finding 30 minutes to cook dinner is really tough on many days. So Mom Made is just that. It's, let's take the guilt out of those really busy days and just give the kids something that they love and the parents something that they can feel good about feeding, but that's really easy.
And where is your distribution? Because I really want to find your product.
We are nationwide, and some regions in some areas stronger than others. It's a big U.S. nation that we live in. So,
yes.
But your listeners can go online to mommadefoods.com and they can enter in their zip code and find the stores that are closest to them. Everything's in the freezer aisle, and we're based just outside of Washington, D.C. in Alexandria, Virginia. So the East Coast is our strongest area, but then we've got lots of other areas that are also strong, and will soon be on Amazon as well.
Great. So that's wonderful. Well, so you've really made a success out of what was lacking in your menus, really. So that's a great success story. So tell us very quickly your tips for families creating a happy and positive mealtime. So like you said, let's if we have a healthy meal, moms feel better about it. And so how do we make that translate to a happy mealtime for the whole family?
Yeah, well, usually between preparing the meal and then with throwing some picky eaters or just tired children into the mix, it can become a really stressful time of day, just mealtimes in general, particularly dinner. And it really doesn't need to be. It should be, in our house, we've made it our favorite time of day for not only myself and my husband, but for our kids. And we practice what we preach here. Overall, it's about making it a regular mealtime and sitting down and turning off the phones and just focusing on being together. Put the toys away, put the phones away, put the books away.
You're right. There's so much research on how just that mealtime, the family schedule of mealtime it just avoids a lot of issues because you're communicating and you're reconnecting after busy days. So thank you so much, Heather. Heather, mommadefoods.com. We'll list it on momtalkradio.com. You have Facebook, yes?
We do. Of course we have Facebook.
Of course you do.
Facebook.com/mommadefoods. Twitter, we're mommadefoods.
Great.
Pinterest, Instagram.
Great. Perfect. And I'm hoping.
Lots of recipes, yes.
Great.
And lots of tips, just like this conversation today, but lots more tips on just trying to live this healthy life with our kids in the midst of the ultimate busy parenthood and different directions that we're all pulled in.
Gotcha. Thank you so much for joining us, Heather, and thanks for the great tips. And again, it's mommadefoods.com. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of Mom Talk Radio. Again, check MomTalkRadio.com next week for links. Visit our Facebook page at Facebook.com/MomTalkRadio. And join us next week. Marie will take the mic back from me and have another great lineup of guests. Have a great week and happy Halloween.